Morning, ladies and gentlemen. We have four cases on the calendar this morning. Patent case from the Patent and Trademark Office. Two patent cases from the district courts, not our usual diversity. And a case from the claims court, which is submitted on the briefs and will therefore not be argued. The first case is In Re R&S Trading Company, 2007-14-12. Mr. Garcia.
Good morning, may it please the court. My name is Mark Garcia, and I represent the patent owner, R&S Trading Company. I've reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal. I'm here to discuss two points today. There are other issues, but unless there are questions, I'll leave that to my briefs. The first issue was claim interpretation and the meaning of the phrase of flexible coating forming a continuous layer that substantially covers the entire top, bottom, and side surfaces of the compressible structure. And the second issue that I'd like to discuss is the failure of the Patent Office and the examiner to consider the prosecution history of the parent original patent application.
Tell me quickly why that matters, prosecution history of the earlier patent.
Of the parent?
Yeah.
During the prosecution of the parent, we had some rejections by the examiner and some responses to office actions that allowed me to put in the term continuous and help define the meaning of the term continuous during the parent application. And I believe if we look at that prosecution history, it'll clearly identify what the meaning of the term continuous is.
Continuous is a plain, ordinary English word that almost needs no definition. The question is how you apply it to the prior art here, right? Cool. And that has seams, right? And so isn't that really the issue before us, not so much the definition of continuous?
I would agree that we don't necessarily have to look at the definition of continuous, but I think, again, the prosecution history and how we arrived at what it meant is important, because there was a give and take between the examiner and myself. I'm the one who prosecuted the case as to how we should define it.
Well, what's the key interchange in the prosecution relating to continuous that's relevant here?
We received a rejection early on of our claims, and the rejection was based on prior art that showed shoes that did not have a layer that went continuously around the shoe. So in order to overcome that prior art,
That wasn't cold.
That wasn't cold, right? You're correct, Your Honor. After that, I added the term continuous, provided a description of what I meant by that, taking it from the specification that an example of continuous is the dipping step. And I believe that identifies structure as to what we meant by the term continuous. Now, if you look at the prosecution history after that, you can see the examiner in the parent case then found references where the layer went continuously around all the way around the shoe. And I believe if I'm able to present that to the examiner, the re-examination examiner, it may have changed his mind on this. But the examiner considered that irrelevant, and the board did not consider the issue also. It also adds obviously a public notice function here to the public, because a re-examination involves an issued patent that's been fully examined. There's a full record. I'm sure our competitors have looked at the history, and they've come to their conclusions as to what continuous meant and what we intended it to mean. And in my view, the interpretation given by the board is much broader and an unreasonable interpretation in view of that prosecution history. That was my second point. I'll move on to my first point.
We wanted to keep you on your toes.
The claim construction issue, if I might pass up samples from the patent owner to the board, if I've been permitted to do that.
Are these in the record?
They were shown to the board in demonstrative only, but I used them as a demonstrative.
Is there any?
No objection. Yet.
Okay, fine. Please present them.
I have one set for each. I can warn you they've never been used, so you don't have to worry about them. people hadn't worn those shoes previously.
Also, it might be a little bit early, seeing we're in January, and I'm also a little concerned, being from Southern California, that you may think this is the only type of case that I get, but I do have others.
This isn't the sole case that you get.
You can see the flip-flop has your typical thong on the top to hold it in. The bottom is a two-piece construction. It has an outsole, that's the black, and insole is the blue. The insole is what we're focusing on here today. It has a two-part construction, the white compressible material, and then it has the flexible coating that forms a continuous layer. Along the top, along the side, along the bottom is a little bit harder to see if you look closely. I have to take my glasses off, but you can see the blue coating runs all the way along the bottom between the black and the white. Now, Cole was asserted to anticipate the claims of the patent. Cole comes up short for two reasons. Number one, Cole does not discuss a layer that runs along the bottom of the compressible foam structural member. Number one. Number two, it doesn't teach the continuous aspect of this either.
As to the first, it wasn't clear to me upon looking at your brief before the board that you raised the first of those two issues. You've hammered that pretty hard in your reply brief here, although you would allude to it only very briefly in your opening brief before us. But I'm looking at your brief before the board, I didn't see where you raised that issue.
The issue was raised in connection with the clause as a whole. What I argued to the board and placed into the brief was the limitation, a flexible coating forming a continuous layer that substantially covers the entire top, bottom, and side.
Well, you put that whole limitation an issue, but I didn't see you making the argument that Cole did not anticipate because it didn't cover the bottom of the insole.
Yeah, I understand.
Did you make that argument?
At the hearing, the board raised the exact same question that you did, which is, am I contesting whether Cole shows a layer on the bottom or not? And I was very express saying that, yes, I mean, no, Cole does not teach that. If you'd like a cite to that.
Well, I've read the... You came back in the discussion, the back and forth. It's a little hard to follow because the questions came at you from different directions.
That's
but
true.
It seemed to me, as I read the argument, that you were reiterating that Cole... did not teach a continuous covering, not that Cole didn't teach the covering of the bottom. I didn't see that argument explicitly made, and when you were asked, are you making two arguments or one, you said, this is the one argument I'm making, as I understood your argument. But in any event, you didn't make that argument in your brief before the board, correct?
Not that I relied on the limitation as a whole. I agree. As to breaking it into two arguments, I didn't do that.
Or even making as part of one argument expressly saying that anticipation is not present because there is no covering of the bottom. That argument was not made, correct?
I didn't specifically say, but I think it's included in the whole clause that I presented to the court. And I think the board obviously had a problem with that particular element of the claim also, and presented that to me. And when presented that question by the board, I was very clear that Cole does not teach a bottom layer, a covering on the bottom. So I think it was improper for the board then to go and say there's an anticipation here when they do not show a covering on the bottom, and instead relying on, which I don't believe there was, an admission from me that there was not a covering at the bottom. Moving on to the continuous layer feature. The board then argued, and then the examiner argued, that there was that if you take a sheet of material and wrap it around the compressible foam, bring it around to the bottom and stitch it together, that's a compressible layer. And I disagree with that. I think if you look at it in the context of the claim, that when you take a sheet of material and wrap it around and form that continuous layer to substantially cover the top, bottom, and sides, you have a big discontinuity down the middle of the back of the shoe. This is a discontinuity, and I think it would be an unreasonably broad interpretation of the claim to call that a continuous layer. Therefore, I request that the court reverse the decision of the board affirming the examiner's rejection of the claims in view of Cole for anticipation. And then the alternative, if there is not a reversal, that the case be remanded for consideration of the prosecution history. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gosher. We'll save the rest of your time. Mr. Piccolo.
May it please the court. I just have 2 points to make, and then would be happy to answer any questions the court might have. As to Judge Bryson's recent inquiry about the bottom of the insole, Cole, where it discloses completely covering insole 12, takes care of the bottom, and that's how we addressed it. In the case, there were
where
points
is
of cover. Yes,
can you,
Your Honor.
Because that was not the way I...
Page 203 of Cole, of the record, column 5.
Just 203 of the joint appendix?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right.
Column 5.
All right.
With the first full paragraph that begins at about line 4, insole 12 is being made there, and what's happening is that it is being covered. As Cole discusses throughout the reference, you cover things, and insole 12, which is shown in figures 3 and 2, the formed component, is being completely covered. It's being manufactured.
The exposed surfaces, right?
Well, insole 12 is being made first, Your Honor, yes. All the exposed surfaces, which all the surfaces, there are many surfaces, referring to page 196 of the record, figures 3 and 2, insole 12 shows both a bottom and a top, and as Cole discloses, the whole insole is being covered with...
Well, obviously from my question, what I'm concerned with is the extent to which, when we say exposed surfaces, there's a limitation to some surfaces. The implication is that some surfaces are not exposed. And my, at least initial look at this, suggested that at least in the completed flip-flop or whatever it is, the bottom of the insole is not exposed. Now, of course, during manufacture it may be exposed, but what indicates to you that Cole, in referring to covering the exposed surfaces and by implication not the non-exposed surfaces, is intended to cover all the surfaces during the process of manufacture?
Is that that paragraph for covering is addressing only insole 12, and that paragraph talks about covering the workpiece, the formed component, which is clearly insole 12 in figure 3. That is the formed component with the many different surfaces that are either horizontal or vertical on the indents. There are many surfaces there, and they are the formed component which is being completely covered. And at that point, they are all exposed because only the insole is the workpiece at that point. And that was the board's rationale.
Why would the patentee have used the word exposed surface if I understand you, you're saying really meant all surfaces?
Correct, Your Honor. Two reasons. One, exposed can mean, as the examiner and the board interpreted it to mean, that you have horizontal surfaces and vertical surfaces. If exposed were not there, it may just mean the flat surface, this surface or the top. Whereas it can mean the exposed surfaces include the vertical surfaces on the indents on the formed component, figure 3. So there's a range of covering that can occur. Cole teaches you completely cover things to a seam, as Judge Lurie mentioned about seam. Seamless is in Claim 17. That's how it overcame Cole. Here, what we have is a formed component, and you can cover all the surfaces, or you can partially cover the formed component, and the claim just requires substantially cover.
Do you think that the applicant raised the issue of whether the bottom surface was shown to have been covered in Cole before the board?
Not clearly. And we, based on the breadth of Cole and its many different embodiments of using different materials to cover, covering completely, covering less than completely, we felt that the reference anticipates the claim, and to the extent that applicant did raise that limitation in total, substantially covering, it was met by Cole, given the breadth of Cole, the different embodiments taught in Cole, and that the board was making a finding of the disclosures in Cole meeting that part of the claim, substantially covering with a continuous layer. And here we have substantial evidence that the surfaces are covered, completely covered with PVC, and there could be less than complete covering, but substantial evidence supports meeting that limitation that the insole was at least, as applicant claims, substantially covered.
Mr. Spiegel, you're basically relying on the argument that column 5 at page A203 from basically lines 4 down through lines 54 are talking about the sort of a fabrication process. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor. And here we have, after the reference talks about different types of full coverings, it's in many of the drawings and much of the specification how to cover things to a seam, and again, that's why Claim 17 is distinguishable from Cole.
One question, is there anything else in the record other than what you've been discussing with Judge Bryson that would indicate that the insole, item 12, is completely covered, substantially or completely covered? Just that, looking that beyond, is this what you rely on?
Yes, Your Honor. That insole 12 is manufactured as a separate entity, and this part of the reference goes to figures 3 and 2, and it says you can completely cover that formed component, which meets substantially cover in claim 1, and that is the substantial evidence that supports the board's finding of the limitation being met and the anticipation finding in total.
Now the board, as I read it, doesn't address this covering the bottom, for lack of a better term, argument, right? They say, instead, they make a finding of fact, as I understand it, that there was no dispute on that.
They do that, Your Honor, and they expressly refer to the examiner's finding on the matter that where Cole discusses column 5 completely covering the insole using PVC, that meets that part of the claim. So essentially, they did it both ways. This is an anticipation case, and they found that claim 1 was met by Cole.
That's again on the, as I understood it at least, on the argument that there was no dispute on this, correct?
Yes.
I take it you're referring to, on the one hand, the factual finding at A11 and the legal discussion at A14, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Right. And both of those are by way of saying there was no dispute as the board understood the argument on that issue, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
All right. So they're not saying that independent of a waiver of the argument that that's the way they are ruled, correct?
No, they're not expressly saying that. The finding is there in Cole about completely covering the surfaces of the formed component. And how someone would read that part of Cole is they're manufacturing the insole, and the rest of Cole before was about covering things to a seam. And it's there that you cover the workpiece, straps were discussed beforehand, and to a person skilled in this area, what this would mean is, especially when only insole 12 is being built now, it does not have further description. Well, this vertical surface is not an exposed surface, or this crevice down here is not an exposed surface. For it can be read that for emphasis, it's going to the extent of covering all exposed surfaces, because that's what's being addressed right now. Insole 12, as shown in figure 3. It was not discussed at all before about that if the insole fits in the sandal, none of these other surfaces are exposed, because what's happening here is only the insole is being manufactured, and this passage has quite a range that you can have no cover. That's item 2 in column 5 about lines 13 to 14, or you can completely cover all of insole 12. So here, with the many variations that are going on, there is rationally, and the board's finding was reasonable, a range or a continuum from no covering all the way up to completely covered. That is all that makes sense about this passage, is that it is disclosing variations of the level of covering, how much covering, from completely covering all of insole 12 to not completely covering it, to partially covering it, to not covering it at all. And the claim broadly recites substantially covering it. And that is met by both figures 3 and 2 of Cole and the discussion of manufacturing insole 12, which occurs before the insole is attached to the outsole. So Cole is about covering to a seam. It clearly is figure 5 and 6, for the straps show at page 197 and 198 of the record, show covering the inner component of straps. You cover to seam 64. Cole has, when building insole 12 by itself, covering all of it, or covering a little less than all of it. And the covering completely meets claim 1's broad limitation, substantially covering, as the examiner and then the board, in affirming the examiner's decision, affirmed Those are reasonable findings that are supported by this substantial evidence. So, in closing, the board did take that position that it was not clearly articulated, and they reached the right result of affirming the anticipation finding regardless of if applicant did in his argument section to his brief and at oral argument raise the substance of that matter. Either way, the board's decision is supported by substantial evidence.
Thank you, Mr. Piccolo. Mr. Gosher has some time left to rebut.
Thank you. This will be brief. Just two comments that I'd like to make. One is concerning the completely covering. I think the court understands the position that I would take with this. The passage from the patent talks about completely covering. The only place it says completely covering, it then talks about completely covering the exposed surfaces, and I think you have to give meaning to the word exposed.
But it does talk, excuse me for interrupting, Mr. Garcia, but it does talk in terms of exposed surfaces of a formed component. And it does seem that discussion, that section of column 5 there, I guess, yeah, is directed to the manufacturing process. And Mr. Piccolo's argument is that this section discloses a formed component, I guess, you know, basically the white part here, in the construction process, and it is completely covered. What is your answer to his argument that we're talking construction and we're referring to a formed component?
I point to the word exposed surfaces, that you should give that word some meaning. And they wouldn't need to even put the word in there if they meant just totally covering the formed component. By saying exposed surfaces, they meant those portions. If you look at figure 1, you can see where the outsole is, and it covers the bottom and comes up the side.
This is figure 1 of Cole.
So if you see figure 1 of Cole, you have an outsole that covers the insole. So what I would read from that is you only need to put the covering just a little bit down the side, because what's above the outsole is what needs to be covered. Anything below that, the patent tells you, just worry about the exposed surfaces. That's what it means to me.
Anything further, Mr.
Yeah, just the last point. I'd like to point specifically to the transcript of the oral hearing, pages A10, A11. That's where the discussion came up concerning covering at the bottom. At the top of page 11, I think there's a couple places that I reiterate that I have.
What page? This is actually A48 in the appendix, right?
My mistake.
Right, all right.
A47.
A47 and 48.
Right, 47 and 48. Those are the two pages where the issue came up with the board. And specifically at the top of page 11, Judge Del Mendo had asked me about whether I'm relying on the bottom being covered in coal, and expressly said, I am relying on that the bottom is covered, that the bottom has to be covered, and that I'm relying on that limitation of the claim. It goes on down to line. So it starts on A47, line 5, and goes down to A48, line 14. That's where the discussion is. I didn't waive that issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gosher. The case will be taken under advisement.